Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, for an anointing by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak through me, Lord. Build up this body. Strengthen that what needs to be strengthened. Purge that what needs to be purged. Refine that which needs to be refined. Let your word bring forth fruit for your kingdom and your glory alone. Open ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking expressly to the church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The title of this message is Waiting on the Lord. Are you observing some strange times in this world, or is it just me? Just me, huh? I feel like the world and its population has been just, it's being beaten into submission by tyrants to condition the nations to accept total government control over their lives. And many don't want to accept that truth. They'd rather believe the lie. Ephesians 6:12-13 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." We are certainly in the evil day. "And having done all to stand." Stand! Because the wicked powers and principalities are certainly at work in this world. And as the world grows more dark, the wicked one will continually look to push and conform the world to its final agenda and solution. Over 2 years now, we have seen the world, in the name of science, force lockdowns, devastate small businesses, church closures, and punish the disobedient to the mandates that it looks to enforce. And nobody 2 years ago could have envisioned a scenario where we see lawlessness promoted, and that causes great concern and worry for the average law-abiding citizen. Criminals just being released. It is like Gotham City. Just as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so it is today. Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Because this is the world we live in. It's lawless. It's utterly lawless. We are living in a day of deception. And I think about, just look at the promotion of gender confusion. This is where we're at in this world. How about taking of a life, an abortion? That people can think that just because a baby has not come out of a womb fully, it is not human. And just this past week, the New Jersey governor signed a bill legalizing abortion up to the moment of birth. Because the way the bill was written, there's no gestational limits mentioned anywhere in the bill, which means the new statute will allow abortions at any point in pregnancy, even if the baby is viable or full of term. I read that in the ChristianPost.com. To decide that life is not worthy to the moment of just coming out of a womb, that is filling up God's cup of wrath. Because the mystery of lawlessness was already back at work in Paul's day. And just wait till the restrainer is taken out of this world. When Paul wrote to the Romans, and he wrote to the Thessalonians, the age of grace had just begun in the church, and it was under the oppression of Roman rule. And so it is, the church age, or the time of grace, is quickly coming to an end, and it will end under a global government and tyrant rule, as described by Daniel, one that is mixed with iron and clay, a revived Roman Empire. The old flow of daily living has been torn apart. You know, we were first subject to inconvenience initially, but now over 2 years, it's turned into institutionalization. It's the setup of the new normal. And this is conditioning, and it's a push to conform. You understand that? It's a push to conform. And those who do not bow will certainly face even tougher times. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. The world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. And what we see right before our eyes, and you need to hear this, because you can apply this individually to your life, and you can apply it to the circumstances set up right now. These are not setbacks in the world. These are divine setups. Not setbacks, setups. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your path. Amen. You see, in talking about setbacks, you cannot go back to normal when a baby is starting to give birth, when a mother is starting to give birth to a baby. You actually realize 9 months prior, that process actually started. There was no reversing it. And over time, that baby develops in the womb until it is time to come out. And yes, things get more uncomfortable for the mom carrying that baby, but that time does not hold a candle, because I can only say by visually watching, I did not experience that, regardless of what science says. It does not hold a candle to when it's time to give birth, right? Ladies, mommies, contractions start, and they intensify. And there's no going back. It doesn't stop, right? The water breaks. You can't put it back in. The reality is there was no going back even 9 months prior, right? That baby is coming out. And the world is begging for the epidural to numb the pain. But it does not stop the baby from coming. This is the world we are living in today. This world is going to pass away with God's judgment. And there is a birthing process for that to happen, and we are seeing the maturation of the birthing process. The contractions are upon us, intensifying with every moment on a collision course to a new order as described in the book of Revelation. These things must happen so that King Jesus can return, first to take his bride, the church, then to expose the hardness of hearts and those who want to dwell on the earth in lieu of God. No existence of God. And they reject the free gift of salvation that he alone has purchased. And God will pour out his wrath on this unrepentant earth. And then King Jesus can set up his eternal rule and reign. But before that happens, things are going to spiral out of control, even as man tries to impose more power to control the situation, to control the narrative, but we are past the point of no return. Some headlines. In ZeroHedge.com, for the past year, Bank of America chief investment strategist Michael Hartnett is warning that the global markets are on the precipice of a very ugly turn of events and predicting that 2022 will unleash a rate shock that will hammer risk assets, and as 2022 gradually rolls out, doling out major pain for the bulls. His predictions are finally coming true. Inflation equals economic and political problems. That's his words. After a decade of Fed desperation to hike inflation, the central bank finally got what it wanted and is now trapped because, as Hartnett lists, inflation is off the charts, oil prices are strong, supply bottlenecks remain, with China freight prices at all-time highs. So while the tightening is coming, the inflation is already here, and as Hartnett puts it simply, inflation always precedes recessions. The late 60s recession preceded by consumer price inflation. 1973 and 4 by oil and food shocks. The recession of 1980 by oil. 1990-91 by CPI. 2001 by the tech bubble. 2008 by the housing bubble. To be sure, the coming recession won't be just in the markets. This is his words. It will hit consumers especially hard. Okay? Jerusalem Post, Europe at greatest risk of war in 30 years, Poland warns. Poland is among the NATO members that are more hawkish in confronting what it sees as Russia's revisionist ambitions in Eastern Europe. Europe is nearer war than it had been in 30 years. Poland's foreign minister warned during the third round of diplomacy this week, aimed at defusing tensions over Russia's demand that Ukraine never be allowed to join NATO. Meanwhile, they continue to build up their armament on the Ukrainian border. Israel 365 news. Hamas meets with Iran, calls on all Muslim Arab countries to unite in war against Israel. That sounds a lot to me like Ezekiel 38 and 39. Just a few more. In the daily.co.uk, talks about empty shelves at grocery stores. It's like a Soviet store during 1981. Grocery stores across the U.S. have empty shelves. I've seen this just recently. If you've gone out this week, Katie went out to three different grocery stores. Empty shelves, a supply chain crisis, and COVID combined to make basics like milk, bread, meat, canned soups, and cleaning products hard to find. Shoppers across the country are finding severe shortages of basic foodstuffs this week. Omicron-driven work absences are combining with severe weather to exacerbate supply chain issues. Grocery stores are operating with less than their normal workforces, according to the National Grocers Association, and many of its members have less than 50% of their normal staff. Frustrated shoppers are having trouble finding produce, bread, milk, and other basic necessities. Pete Buttigieg, the transport secretary, visited the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach on Tuesday. Buttigieg said that the Biden administration was reversing decades of underinvestment, but admitted there were lingering problems in the supply chains. No, a few weeks ago I told you that is a man-made crisis. It is a man-made crisis. And inflation is exacerbating the problem. November's inflation rate was the highest in 39 years. Tying to this, again, another article in Zero Hedge, global economy heading for mother of all supply chain shocks as China locks down ports. The effects of restrictions in China as the country maintains COVID zero policy are starting to hit supply chains in the region as a result of the slow movement of goods through some of the country's busiest and most important ports, means that shippers are now diverting to Shanghai, causing the types of knock-on delays at the world's biggest container port that led to massive congestion bottlenecks last summer and translated into a record number of container ships waiting off the coast of California that has still yet to be cleared this day. With sailing schedules already facing delays of about a week, freight forwarders warn of the impact on already backlogged gateways in Europe and the U.S., and it's also why HSBC economists are warning that the world economy could be headed for the mother of all supply chain shocks. If the highly infectious Omicron variant, which is already swamping much of the global economy, spreads across Asia, especially China, at which point disruption to manufacturing will be inevitable, temporary, one would hope, but hugely disruptive all the same. In the next few months, they wrote in a research note this week, noted by Bloomberg. Okay? It's prudent to put some things away if you can. But do you understand, with the things that were shared last week, and I've been sharing for weeks now, how all this is converging worldwide? It's the acceleration. It's the conversion of those things. It's now the logistics part. If you can't get truckers to drive, if you can't get the ports cleared, then you create this crisis. The Bible is very clear. It talks about Seal Horse Rider 3, a day's wage for a loaf of bread. Those things have to happen, and it happens because of what we're seeing here. And it says in Daniel 12 that at the end, the wise will understand. The wise will understand and see what's going on and say, I know what the Bible says, and I see it all lining up in front of me. It's not just little pieces. It's not cherry-picking things. It's prophecy as a whole coming together. And I know one of my family members, not to be on a down note, folks, but one of my family members likes to text me occasionally, just, will someone push the button already? Are you feeling that today? Let's get this thing going. Come on, full speed ahead already so we can go home. And then others ask who are kind of waking up going, when is this going to happen? And then what do we say? Soon. Soon, right? That four-letter word. Soon. And it's a tough word. You know what's another four-letter word? Wait. Wait. And waiting on the Lord can be one of the hardest things to do if we don't have the right mindset. And there's a command to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But pastor, I don't know how much longer I can wait. Yes, you can. You can wait. Not by your power, but by his power, by his might. What do I do while I'm waiting? How do I learn to wait? These are just some points for you. Number one, trust in God's perfect control. He is sovereign. No setbacks. It's divine setup. No setbacks. It's divine setup. In order to get good at waiting, we need to acknowledge that God is sovereign, and nothing we are presently experiencing is outside of his eternal decree and his direct oversight. He is not surprised by anything that is going on. Isaiah 45, 5 through 9 says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? He's in control of it all, folks. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. For by him all things were created that are in the heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Yes. Amen. Even the present state of affairs is of the Lord. He is allowing it to happen to accomplish his purpose that's been foreordained in Scripture. He's going to bring about his purpose and his will, because when God decrees it, we cannot reverse it. His word goes forth out. It does not return void. It accomplishes its purpose. And as much as we may want to fix this problem, we are to wait upon the Lord by acknowledging his sovereign purpose in it. You can apply that to anything that's going on in your life. What is the purpose? Why is this it's not why is this happening? My wife shared this with me. But what are you trying to show me through this, Lord? What are you trying to bring to me? Because God's ways are not our ways. He is working things, all things together for his good and for those called according to his purpose. In the midst of the storm surrounding us, people are coming to an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. God knows the perfect time to send his son. Human fixes are not permanent. God will fix things in a much better way than we could ever fathom. Do you understand that? Trust in the Lord and his sovereign plan. 2, seek the Lord and his strength. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. 1 Chronicles 16:8-12. I love this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Are you telling the peoples what's going on in your life, what the Lord is doing in this church, amongst this nation? Not what man's doing, what the Lord's doing. You understand? Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Listen, our helplessness becomes very obvious during times of disaster, times of calamity, right? It really exposes how helpless we are as humans. We're finite, right? And many feel as if there's no hope. And when you don't have hope, what happens is your strength gets zapped. But if you can turn your focus off yourself and your circumstances and start acknowledging the Lord, you're renewed. There's a renewing that happens. Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He's on the throne. He's not getting weary. He doesn't need to take a nap. He's not like Baal going potty. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That's happening right now. You know, the ages 18 to 49, from 18 to 19 to now to 2021, the jump, 40% increase in deaths in that age group. In 2020, it was a 24% increase. John Haller, someone I follow, said last week, he said, something is happening. Something's happening. And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord, hallelujah. Those who wait on the Lord, those who anticipate, those who eagerly expect, that's what waiting is. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is in Christ alone that we find strength to tread life's troubled waters. You see, the storms come, and you know what happens? The eagles use the gale force winds to soar above it. Hallelujah! What a visual! Ephesians 6:10-11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In Psalms, there's multiple passages about waiting and finding strength in God. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who wait for the Lord. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield that consumes the wiles of the enemy. Yes, even when war breaks out, even if the economy collapses, even when the grocery store runs out of all the household essentials, even when the hospital runs out of beds or supplies because of man-made employment shortages, or the world gets darker and sin is abounding, we can rest securely and strong in Christ, who is our most essential need and what this world needs. So we seek him for spiritual strength because we are in a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war for the souls of mankind. Number three, trust and depend on him alone. These aren't like, wow, what an epiphany, but I'm stirring up your spirit and your soul right now. You understand that? Trust and depend on him alone, because it's natural for us in this world to want to be in control and provide, especially for us men. It's a pride thing. It's a pride thing. We want the freedom and the independence to do whatever we want to do, when, where, and how we want to do it. But the truth is, we are all dependent upon God for that very next breath in our lungs. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Job confessed it in Job 121. The Lord who gives and takes away. Man thinks they have control and they say what they want to do. I say the earth dwellers think that way. But we're something different because we're not our own. We are purchased. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, we are ambassadors. We are bondservants to Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that nice to know that we can trust in him for our provision? Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Because of the Lord and what he has done, we have access to all his faithful promises. 1 Corinthians 1:20 through 22, for all the promises of God in him are, let's say it together, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Oh, yes, as a guarantee. We have a faithful God who resides inside us, and he guarantees us access to his promises. This is not a prosperity message, by the way. None of that baloney. Because we seek him first in his kingdom. Do you understand? Number four, do not fear or worry. A lot of anxiety yesterday. And as times get darker, you know, that weight, that heaviness comes. We've all experienced it. And we've seen how the enemy has used fear to paralyze this world and its dwellers. And fear, as we have learned, can rob our focus and take our eyes off Christ. No matter our situation, we need to avoid being controlled by fear. Avoid being controlled by worry. It's not easy. But there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We cannot let fear or worry consume us. That recluses you. You disengage. This also means not being stupid and careless with our decisions either. When you see something coming, you should react to it and prepare for it. I just told you some headlines. If you have the ability, put some things away. Be wise, like Joseph. 7 years of harvest, 7 years of famine. We do know if we're seeking and trusting the Lord, Jesus himself gives us his word not to worry or fear. Matthew 6:25-27, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying, I love this, by worrying, can you add one cubit to your stature? By worrying, can you add another day to your life? Absolutely not. Let it go. Let it go. And if you are blessed to put things away, maybe you'll be the one to bless the others and care for others who need. Do you understand? Salt and light, folks. Psalm 46:1-3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because he's our very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Look at that volcano that just happened. That's just a taste of what's going to be like in Revelation. And that's, you know, I try looking this stuff up all the time about earthquakes and volcanoes. Like, are they intensifying? And I feel like science is just kind of like, no, there's nothing. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Oh, it's just because, you know, we have more data to track these things. I don't know. Don't know about that. But back to Scripture, not to get off topic here. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Because what's coming on this earth, folks, men's hearts will fail them. And we have nothing to fear. Even the worst man can do is take your life. And you know what happens? What did Paul say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if that happens to one of us, we'll see you on the other side, or I'll see you on the other side. Yeah. I'll help baste the barbecue for the supper of the Lamb. Because we are in the presence, of our Lord forevermore. For all eternity, folks. All eternity. With our loved ones who have put their faith and trust in the Lord. And that's why we need to get more, right? Lord, help us to be salt and light, to bring more into the fold. He's the one that does it, but he uses us. He uses us. So be used. If you're not ready to be used, realize you're probably like that clay that's been sitting out. I remember in my ceramics class, clay that sat out for a while, not covered. Or like the salt downstairs, actually. It wasn't covered. And I went to go put the cup in there. It was just a solid mass. So I had to start breaking it up with a screwdriver. And just that's what happened in ceramics class. You have to start breaking up that clay and kneading it. So you either yield and let the Lord use you, or you're going to get kneaded. You're going to get broken real quick. Number 5, replace the world's words, the world's thoughts, with the Lord's words, the Lord's thoughts. What is that called? Romans 12, let's go. Renew your mind. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we can combat against the wiles of the enemy, and he shoots those arrows of fear at us, and try to form strongholds in your mind. Think military and occupation. They're trying to create a stronghold. That's what the enemy's doing. And we can combat that by renewing our mind. Those thoughts of fear, those thoughts of worry come trampling in. And then you go back to the scripture and you say, no, I don't accept that. This is what God's word says. Just as Jesus spoke to the problem in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, the stupid serpent comes to him and starts tempting him, saying, why don't you do this? Throw yourself off the top of the temple, the highest point. Isn't it your angels will charge you? You should not tempt the Lord thy God. He comes back with the word. He comes back with the word. And we absorb his word when we spend time reading it. You know, the other night, Caitlin woke me up. She had a nightmare. And she asked me, she said, Daddy, can you read me scripture? And honestly, I didn't have a Bible laying around or handy at 3:30 in the morning. I was half groggy, but I said, I don't have a Bible. Oh, you know what? I have some scriptures in my mind that I can recall, right? And so I started speaking to her. One of the biggest ones she loves, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Behold, I'm making all things new. You see, you can't recall scripture to share it if you're not reading it. If you're not studying to show yourself approved. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Yeah, I know there are much greater people out there that can recall, it probably quote book, chapter, and verse all the time. But there are our favorites, and we all kind of have different ones, right? God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Will he not do it? Psalm 25, 4 through 5 says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. You know, as we wait upon the Lord and we read his word, that's how we commune with him. We commune with our Lord. We grow in the knowledge of him and his commands for us to follow. This is what this is. It's an instruction guide. And his words will never fail. They'll never disappear. Look at how over time the enemy has tried to undermine this, left and right, and the church. There is a fake church out there, by the way. But the real church, it's still there. Because Jesus' word said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. You still with me? Yeah. So reading his word teaches us obedience, and it also keeps us steadfast in our faith so we do not drift from our faith when the currents of the world are pushing really hard. And they are pushing very hard right now, right? And we renew ourselves by communing with our Lord and seeking him in prayer. Romans 12, 2, just a little bit further on in that about renewing your mind, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. This is a praying church, folks. And for Julian Marcos, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. They asked for help, and this church responded to pray for them. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When everyone else is losing their minds for fear of what is taking place, when everyone else is soaking up all the lies the enemy is spewing, we should be petitioning our Lord, seeking him in prayer and what his will is to be done. Praying for the deliverance of our friends, our family, our loved ones who do not know Jesus. Because the day of the Lord is coming, and it is coming quick. 2 Peter, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Verse 16, as also in all epistles, speaking of these things, which are some of these things hard to understand. He talks about Paul here. But verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, because you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Paul also said, for the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will pursue fables. We see that happening in the church right now. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You gotta get in his word to do that. Okay? Number six, occupy and redeem our time. Waiting is not in action. It's in action. We're eagerly anticipating. Jesus in Luke 19, you know the parable of the 10 servants? Remember, he gives 10 to the one, he does really well, 5, and then the one does nothing at all. He says, a certain nobleman, this is his parable, went to a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. So he called on his 10 servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. You know what the King James Version says? Occupy. Occupy till I come. Nice, huh? Occupy is a military term. We're fighting right now. We're fighting. Occupying. Occupying. We are an occupying force in this world. We are the resistance, right? We are the resistors. We're the rebels, right? I love that. I want to keep using it. We submit to God, we resist the devil, and he will flee. We are to be reading the word of God. We are to be praying, because the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We are to dress ourselves daily in the armor of God. We are the resistance. We are ambassadors of Christ, so we are doing the bidding of our country, our heavenly home. This is not our home. We are to be about kingdom business. Jesus said before he said it, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We are to be letting our light shine and trimming our wicks and keeping our oil filled, looking for our glorious King Jesus, the bridegroom. Amen. Final point, number 7, longing and waiting for our blessed hope for Christ's return. Did you think you were going to get a bye this week without hearing that? Sorry. This world and everything in it is dying, folks. And with every day that goes by, all creation groans in agony under the weight of the curse of sin. And those of us who have been born again, transformed into a new creation, who have experienced spiritual redemption, long for the redemption of our bodies when we will see perfect face to face. Titus 2, 11 through 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for, or waiting for, eagerly anticipating for, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We eagerly await that moment. We live a holy life. We seek our Father's will. There is a place being prepared for us. It's a bridal chamber. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back and receive you to me. We simply need to wait until the day we need to wait until the day the Lord returns to take us all there together. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. What are you talking about all the time? That's our hope. All of my hope is in Jesus. And these dark days remind us that we wait. For you ladies, that you waited for that wedding day. You eagerly anticipated. You had your gowns ready. Looking for that special day. And if you did it biblically, forever. Right? Till death do us part. On this earth. Christ, our bridegroom, is coming. He is coming. He has promised to make all things new. And every day that goes by, we are one day closer to hearing that trumpet call. That trumpet's going to sound, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Their soul and spirit's with them already. And they're going to get new bodies. Maybe 33 years old, Jim, think? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. It's triage time. Waiting is not easy. But the Lord has given us everything we need to occupy and redeem the time for such a time as this. And if you don't know the Lord, today is that day. Today is the day of salvation. You must A, admit you're a sinner. You need a Savior, folks. You need a Savior. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, you need a Savior because there's payment due. God is expecting payment. And the wages of sin is death. That's the payment. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a solution to the problem. There's a solution to death. If you would just believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, 9 through 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Put your faith and trust now. Every day you wait, you subject yourself to a hardened heart that gets calloused more and more to God. Bend your knee today. Let the Lord do the work in you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As we wait and we seek you, Lord, we wait upon you. Use us. Use us mightily, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom. Though we have little strength, Lord, you are mighty in us. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.